to Glory to Glory, the radio teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel of the Harbor. Join us now in our study as we open the Word together.
I went into my secretary's office and I told her, I says, I just got off the phone with so-and-so, we've got to do this. And she goes, do what? What are you, crazy? We're not going to do that. And she's like, I'll call her. I'll tell her. We're not going to do it. I says, listen, it's okay. We work for them. We're going to do it. And she's arguing with me. I says, don't argue. It's okay. We're going to just do it, right? Within the hour, listen to this. Within the hour, this lady called me back and she says, will you please forgive me? She says, my mother's in the hospital. My father's in another hospital. They're both very sick. I don't know if I'm going to lose both of my parents. She said, I'm under a lot of stress. I'm not sleeping. She said, that ridiculous request I made, you don't have to do it. Please forgive me. And I said, well, you know, I'd like to tell you, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. I'm going to keep your family in my prayers. And it opened a huge opportunity to minister to her and to talk to her about the things of the Lord and to be there for her in a special way. But if I would have argued with her, I don't think the same thing would have happened. God has called us to be servants, submitting to your masters, those that he's placed over us with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the harsh, the unreasonable. Again, it's not an easy thing to do. I'm not up here saying I can do that all the time. I wish I had more stories like that. I could probably tell you a lot more stories when I argued with people. But the outcome's never good when I do that. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 26. He says, but whoever desires to become great among you, can we read that together? Let him be your servant. You want to be great in God's kingdom? Be a servant. Learn to serve others. Ask the Lord who you're supposed to serve, how you're supposed to serve. Remember, a couple verses down from there, remember Jesus said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's what we're called to do. I remember when I was serving at Calvary Costa Mesa, and I'll tell you, I loved serving there. I truly did, under Pastor Chuck Smith and Brian Broderson, I loved my time there. I loved what God was showing me and teaching me. And I was an intern pastor, and then they asked me to be an assistant pastor. But when I was an intern pastor, I just remember, you know, part of our duties were to go up and pray over the tithes or to do the announcements. And they would rotate, you know, the different pastors. And the way it worked, just so you know, so Pastor Chuck would give the message. Brian was the one that would go around, and he would pick those that would come up. He would rotate it. So he would pick the ones that were going to do the announcements, and those were going to pray over the tithes. And so what would happened was I really didn't want to be on stage. I had no desire. And that plus it was on K-Wave, and I'm thinking, I don't want to mess up, and it was live, you know. And so I'm thinking, I have no desire. That's okay. I'll serve the people. I'll be here. I'll do whatever. So when Brian would go around, he would go up to the pastors. When I saw him coming, I would literally go in the other direction. And that went on for months. I mean, literally, probably 6-8 months. I avoided him like the plague. You know, so he'd come walking in. I had my coffee or something. I said, oh, let's see you guys. And I'd go in the other room. And I thought, this is a great deal. I don't have to do that. You know, so one day, I don't know what happened. One day, you know, I was just talking to someone. And all of a sudden, I look behind me. Brian's right behind me. I'm like, hey, Brian, how's it going? He goes, I'd like you to pray over the tithes today. And I wanted to say, I really don't want to do it. You know, that's what I wanted to say. I don't have somebody else that likes doing this stuff, you know? But I knew it was the Lord. I knew the Lord was taking me out of my comfort zone, and he wanted me to do this. So I said, okay. And then the guys were, you know, the other pastors were reminding me, you know, you're going to be live on K-Wave. And I said, yeah, it's okay, yeah. And all of a sudden, the craziest thing, I felt like a heaviness starting to come out. I'm getting nervous. I'm like, what is this stupid? I pray all the time. It's not a big deal. So what? There's going to be people, maybe, you know, 500,000 people listening on K-Wave. So what? It's not that big of a deal. I literally, listen to this, I literally had to go into my car in the parking lot and I turned on worship music because it talks about, Isaiah the prophet says, you know, put on the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. So I'm like praising God. I'm like, God, take this heaviness off me. I'm self-conscious. I'm worried. And just take that stupid stuff away from me. I give it to you. And then, so it's gone. You know, thank you, Lord. I'm like, this is crazy. So I'm like, yeah, this is exciting. I get to pray. And so I'm backstage with Pastor Chuck Smith and he's got his watch, his atomic watch. And he watches, when Pastor Chuck would give a message, he went out exactly on time, exactly to the millisecond. He was out on stage on time. So I remember being back. People would set their watch to him walking on stage. They knew, okay, let's set my watch because I know Chuck's right on time. So I wanted to be a good servant. I wanted to do everything just right, you know, and I never was up on the stage before and I'm a little nervous. I want to make sure everything's good and everything. So I'm going up there. We're out there and I'm on stage. And then if you were ever at Calvary Costa Mesa, there was the bench there. So I'm sitting here, Chuck's sitting next to me. And we're just sitting there, you know, and all of a sudden he hands me something. And I'm like, what is he handing me a note? And I'm thinking, he's probably giving me a note. Maybe he wants me to say something while I'm up there. So I look at it, it's a check. And I'm like, why did he just give me a check? Like, do they pay you extra to come up here? I didn't think that, but it was in my mind for a second. And I'm like, a check. I'm thinking, what did he just give me a check for? I'm like, a check. And I'm like, think, a check. He's got me a check. I'm thinking, okay, check. Okay, I'm praying over the tithes. Okay, tithes, it's probably for a tithe. Okay, I don't want to look at the amount then. If it's his tithe, that's none of my business, right? So I'm like, but still, I'm thinking, why is he handing me his tithe? Because nobody told me what to expect. They never said he was going to hand you a check. So I'm sitting there racking my brains and I'm thinking, okay, I'm getting excited again. I'm like, okay, I want to get this right. What do I do? And, you know, looking back, I should have just said, hey, Pastor Chuck, what do I do with this? I don't know. But I didn't do it. I wanted to, you know, make sure, you know, I'm doing things right. So I'm thinking, okay, check. You get it? Probably a tithe. Okay, don't look at it. It's none of my business. I don't want to see what he's tithing. Okay, tithe. I think, okay, that's right. The pastors, between the services, they go upstairs and they do the count. So I'm going to be doing the count. He knows I'm going to be upstairs doing the count with the tithe. That's what it's for. He's given it to me to do the count. So I put it in my pocket. I thought I had it solved, so I put it in my pocket. Well, I go up to pray over the tithes, and just like we do, you know, they have the two ushers come forward. They're standing up there forward, so I'm standing there getting ready to pray over the tithes, and one of the guys is there, and he's nodding his head like this, and I'm like, why is he nodding his head? So I'm going to pray. I got one eye open, and he keeps looking at me. He's nodding his head. I'm like, why is he keep nodding his head? Finally, he took his bag, and he's going like this. And I go, oh, so then it grabbed the check and you're supposed to go down like this and put the check into the basket. I didn't know that. Why am I telling you all this? I don't know. It's just a great story. No. God wants to take us out of our comfort zone. And God wants us to be obedient to those that he calls over us. I am so thankful that I didn't continue to run away from Brian as he was asking people to pray up on the stage. I'm so thankful that God took me out of my comfort zone time and time and time again because God knew that one day we would have a church and that he would want to use me to preach the gospel, to teach through the word. Is God taking you out of your comfort zone as a servant? He wants to. He desires to. But I want you to look back with me at this verse. It says, with all fear, we're to submit to those over us with all fear. The word fear here means reverence, respect. Another thing I'd like to point out with this is we talk about servanthood. We're not just to do it out of obedience outwardly, but inwardly we should have respect for those that God has placed over us. And we have to be careful because God knows what we're thinking. And God knows where our heart is, and God wants us to have a heart. And I believe this is a good reminder for us today that those that God has placed over you, if your heart is wrong towards that person, I believe even this morning, even now, God wants to change your heart towards those that he has placed over you. Because God wants you to have a good heart towards those that God has placed over you. We have to beware, we have to be careful. To be, you know, not to be so critical and so bitter and so, you know, critical over those that God has placed there. And God, through the word today, is saying, with all reverence, with all fear, with all respect, those that God has placed over you, have respect for them. And anybody can do it outwardly. I remember when we did the build out here over 8 years ago, and I remember I was in a room and someone else that was part of the church, they're not here right now, so, but they were part of the church, they were in the other room. Well, they didn't know Kathleen and I were in the next room. So they were complaining, they're like, this and that, and I can't believe they picked those colors, I can't believe this, they picked those and that, oh, she's got no taste and all this kind of, I'm like listening, and it's like, really? And that same person in front of us would say, you guys are so great. Oh, I love your taste. Everything's so beautiful. It's like, but it was God exposing their hearts. God's good at that. I was so embarrassed for the person. We didn't even bring it up. We didn't even let them know we were in the other room. We're like, that's it. But it kind of exposed their heart of like, you know, what are they really thinking about us? What are they really thinking about you? And so beware. How is your heart towards those that God's called over you? How is your heart towards those that God has called to be in that place of authority? God wants it to be right. Not just the outward submission, submitting outwardly, being obedient, but with all reverence and fear to have that heart that's good towards those that he's called. And remember, not only to the gentle and the good ones, but also to those that are harsh. I remember back again when I was serving at Calvary Costa Mesa, one of my direct supervisor at the time, a gentleman named Gaylord. And I remember one day he called me into his office and he said, you know, here at the church, we've been praying about it. And we want to ask if you can step down from doing the nursing home ministry and the convalescent home ministry and spend more time here at the church. And I remember at first I was thinking, well, that's my ministry over there. God's called me to that ministry. And I was like, in my thoughts, I'm thinking, you know, don't you realize that people are getting saved and people are accepting Christ just before they die? And God's using that in a glorious way. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking all that. And my heart starts pumping and beating. And I'm thinking, I'm going to argue with him. And all of a sudden, I thought, you know what? God's placed him over me. And, you know, God's speaking to him. And I was like, you know what? That's fine. Yeah, absolutely. If that's what you guys want, that's what, you know, absolutely. And the moment I did that, I was flooded with God's peace, flooded with God's peace. It was like God was saying, that's what I want. I want your heart to be obedient. And shortly after that, God opened a door for us to start a work here in Sunset Beach. And God, you know, he had different plans, but God, listen, God was dealing more with my heart than he was with anything else. This is what we're called to. Let's look back in our text, verse 19. For this is commendable. If because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully, for what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? So if you do wrong and you get in trouble, what profit is that? What credit is that? That's anybody can do that. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Anybody, when they get in trouble for doing something wrong and they take it patiently, that's an easy thing. But when you do something right, you're doing something good and you're still suffering, God says, I love that. That's commendable before God. That the word commendable, it means that's the word charis, the Greek word charis, where we get our word grace from. God's grace is all over you. God's favor is going to be with you. God is going to, you know, show up in a wonderful way. He's going to bless that because that's God's heart, that you take it patiently. I think about our old landlord. He's no longer our landlord. We've got a great landlord now. But our old landlord, he was doing some terrible things. He was doing things that were, they weren't right. And I remember at one point they were, you know, telling us they're going to raise our rent, you know, three times or more than what it is, you know. And so we're like, what do you, that's not even, you know, you've got no rights to do that and all that. So we're just going through this whole struggle. That lasted for almost 2 years, like a year and a half. And we had to keep it quiet. And we had to pray over it. And to me, it was like the enemy was like trying to get in and trying to get us to be worried and to be anxious and to just, you know, really just get upset about it. And God just kept flooding us with peace saying, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And we kept praying, just the handful of people at this church that knew about it. We just kept interceding, kept praying. Well, literally, God, we prayed that old landlord out. God took him out, literally. And God put another landlord in. But I could say that, you know, there was that patience that God was teaching us. We were doing it patiently. We were like, you know, we weren't reviling him. We weren't, you know, I tried meeting with the old landlord a few times. I'd run into him and I'd just, you know, say, hey, we need to talk about this. We need to meet and things that you're doing aren't right. And, you know, let's talk. And, I tried to repay evil with good and try to work it out. And God just showed up and showed his favor. And it's a blessing because it was God that removed him. We're going to look at the next chapter, and this, I love these two verses because these two verses are so powerful. It says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion on one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted and courteous. So this is what we're called to do. Every one of us have that same mind. We're to be courteous. We're to be tenderhearted. We're to love as brothers. We're to go out of our way and be compassionate. But listen to this, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, can we say it together? Blessing. How many of you think about blessing someone that's reviling you and being evil to you? But that's what we're called to do. It says, but blessings. So when somebody's being evil to you, when somebody's being rude to you, when somebody's reviling you, when somebody's just being obnoxious to you, God has called us as a church to repay that with blessings. Good. God bless you. You know, sometimes it even gets them more upset when you do that. I've had people that just get so upset with me, and I'm just like, God bless you. And they're like, what are you talking about? La, la, la. The veins come out of their neck. La, 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 la. It's like, you're so cute when you're angry. You're just beautiful. What it is the enemy of our soul wants us to get in our flesh, wants us to get upset and get angry and revile back. And because that's, anybody can do that. Anybody. But God says, no, I want you to stay in the spirit. I had one appointment back when I was in the corporate world, and I was from, you know, I was living in Michigan, and I had an appointment in Ohio. Nancy, my Ohio friend. But in Ohio, listen. So I had to go out there. Their project was a mess. And then, you know, so they contacted our company to fix their mess. I mean, they were, you know, just getting buried financially because the contractor they had was ruining the job and they didn't know what they were doing. So they asked me to come to help out the project. And we're like, that's what we do. This is our business. We're like, yeah, I would love to come out there. And so it was like a 4.5-5 hour drive, whatever it was. And I'm driving out there and I've got worship music on and teaching tapes on. I'm praising the Lord. I'm just, you know, just filled with love and peace and joy. It's just a wonderful time. I used to love that part of my job. I would get paid for just listening to worship music and praise music. I loved it. So I showed up to this project and I go to this meeting and the city manager's there, the city's there. They're all thanking me for coming out to help fix this problem. I'm just not charging them anything to even do this. I'm just out there to help, you know? So I'm out there. Well, instantly, because I believe the joy of the Lord, that it was, I'm just filled with great joy. This lady hated me. She couldn't even keep it to herself. I mean, I'm sitting at this big long table in this meeting. I'm at the end of the table. She's at the other end of the table. They're all like, so, you know, can we ask you this question, this question? And so I'm answering the people, trying to help out anyway. And she just looks at me and she goes, now, how do you think? And she's like yelling at me. I was like, my name's Joe. Nice to meet you. I didn't know, you know, you're upset at what? And she's like, well, this and that. And she's like yelling. She's just like vile. And she's wanting me to get upset. And I'm like, I'm not going to get upset. And the more I was, you know, joyful and happy, the more upset she was getting. And she was in control of this whole thing. She was the city manager. She called the shots. And she says, well, I don't want your company doing this. And I says, no problem. I came out to help. If you don't want us here, that's fine. That's okay. And she goes, that's okay. And I said, yeah, it's fine. She goes, so you're not upset? I said, no, why would I be upset? We got plenty of work. We're very busy. That's okay. I was trying to come here to help. Well, we don't need your help. I says, okay, then I'm going to go. And then she goes, well, fine. Then you just better go then. And I was like, okay, see you later. And I'm walking out, and the people that called me underneath her, they're like following me out there. I'm so sorry. I don't know why. I've never seen it like this before. Da, 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 da. And they're like, you know, we really need your help. Can we at least call you? I said, yeah, call me up. No problem. And it's just, but what I'm trying to get at is the enemy wants us to get angry. They want us to be upset. The enemy wants us to be bitter. Because why? Because we lose when we get in the flesh. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We're to repay evil and reviling with blessing. Why? Did you know that you were called to this? That's what we're called to do. You might say, Pastor, I don't like that. Well, argue with God in the Bible. Don't argue with me. I don't like it either, to tell you the truth. But I like the result of it. Anybody can get angry. Anybody can argue their point. Isn't it better when you let God fight your battles? Let's look at verse 21, back in our text. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Christ suffered for us. He was beaten. He was scourged. He was rejected. He was spat upon. He committed no sins, nor was deceit found in his mouth. When he, Jesus, was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he, Jesus, suffered, he did not threaten. What did he do? He committed himself to him who judges righteously. Interesting word, committed. It means to hand over. And in the original language, if you look at it, it signifies a repeated action. In other words, he continually committed himself to him, the Father, who judges righteously. I find myself in situations where they're beyond my control. I continually commit myself and commit the situation in his hands. A continual action. Lord, take this. Lord, you fight this for me. Lord, you work this out. Lord, this is your church. You do what you want to do, Lord, and I submit to it. You know, ultimately, everything that comes our way has to be filtered through the loving hands of our Father. Everything. So he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he didn't threaten, but he committed himself. And you might have things in your life. You need to just continually commit it to the Lord and just trust by faith. He's going to work it out. Let's look at the last few verses, at least last two verses. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Talking about Jesus, the tree, speaking of the cross. In the Old Testament, it says, cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree. Jesus took the curse upon the cross when he died in our place. He took the curse away. His body was sacrificed on the cross, on the tree, that we, having died to sin, have you died to sin? If so, that you might live for righteousness. And I love this, by whose stripes you were healed. He's quoting all this from Isaiah 53. By his stripes you're healed. Did you know that? Spiritually, God heals us. This also in the New Testament speaks of healing, of physical healing. Sometimes we quote that verse, by his stripes we're healed. So last verse, for you were like sheep going astray. Can you say amen to that? That was me. I was a sheep. I was going far, far away from God. I was astray. But have now returned. Have you returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul? But now you've returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. I just want to say with this, Jesus is our example. He's the servant that did not return evil with evil, but returned evil with good. This is our reminder today. Servants, let's serve one another. You want to be great in God's kingdom? It doesn't say, in order to be great, you better be a theologian. In order to be great, you should read 12 chapters of the Bible a day. It doesn't say, if you want to be great, make sure you go to midweek Bible studies. All those things are good. But God's saying, if you want to be great, be a servant. Serve the body of Christ. Serve the people around you. Because in God's eyes, if you're serving people, even when they're harsh, even when they're difficult, even when they're unreasonable, and you take it patiently and you just return that evil with good, that's commendable before God. God sees. God's watching. He's the overseer and the shepherd of your soul.
listening to Glory with Pastor Joe Pettick, an outreach of Calvary Chapel of the Harbor. If you would like to enter into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, call now at 714-788-8221. That's 714-788-8221. We'd like to extend an invitation to visit us here at Calvary Chapel of the Harbor. Our address is 16450 Pacific Coast Highway in Huntington Beach, California, 92649. We're located in Peter's Landing Marina in Huntington Harbor. Our Sunday service times are 10 a.m. and 12 o'clock noon. Our Tuesday evening Bible study begins at 7 p.m. Now, may we continue to go to His throne of mercy as He changes us from glory to glory.